Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Our episodes are free to access. However, if you feel that you would like to support the children's charity that we are raising money for, then head over to our Just Giving page at justgiving.com and search for Hattie Savari, where we are raising money for orphaned children at SOS Children's Villages, one of the worthiest children's charities. Donate as little as £1 for a great cause. Thank you. Hello and welcome to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be with Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunals Service, and we will be discussing online civil money claims. This is part two of this episode, so please do listen to our part one. I'm joined by a Senior Service Manager for HMCTS, Miss Kerry Greenwich. Kerry has spent her career in the civil service working for Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunals Service. Kerry joined the HMCTS's reform programme in April 2018 as service manager for the Online Civil Money Claims Service. And she is now the senior service manager for both Online Civil Money Claims and Civil Enforcement Services. Through her work, Kerry has developed a range of knowledge across civil, family, tribunal and criminal jurisdictions, as well as a detailed understanding of the needs of those who use the court and tribunal service. Thank you very much for joining me, Kerry.
You're very welcome. Pleased to be here today for part two.
Yes, absolutely. And I was just talking about how popular part one has been, you know, which is just brilliant. But I mean, I was reading some statistics this morning on online civil money claims, and it's really interesting because it was reported in July 2020 that up to 18 months up to that point, there were over 100,000 issued claims through online civil money claims. Now, I knew it was popular, but when I read that, I thought, whoa, this is seriously popular. And, you know, it's 9 out of 10 people using the service have been satisfied or very satisfied with it, because you can issue a claim in minutes as opposed to days and weeks. So it's just an absolutely brilliant service. And as Justice Minister, actually, Chris Philip MP said, he said, submitting a civil money claim online is allowing thousands of people up and down the country to claim the money they are owed quicker and more easily. This is just one way this government is using technology to ensure our world-renowned justice system remains fit for the 21st century and it increases access to justice for all that use it.
Yeah.
So it's a singing and dancing service, but Sid, let's start from the top. Let's start from the top and actually talk about briefly why someone might need to enter into an online civil money claim.
Okay, so yeah, and I think we're over 180,000 claims issued now since April 2018.
Gosh.
And our user satisfaction is high, still about 91%. So the service is for what we call litigants in person. So basically people or small companies where they don't have a solicitor representing them. So they're issuing the claim themselves. It's for claims up to £10,000. And it is for somebody, again, who they're issuing a claim. So, as I said, we would term the litigants in person, unrepresented people. And they are issuing a claim against an individual or a small company. So whether, again, not a legal representative on the other side, although they might not necessarily know that when they issue the claim. So as you said, it's a digital online service. It can be accessed 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year. It's hosted on .gov.uk. And I think what's really important about the service is that it's the simplicity of language that's used in the service. So we try to avoid using jargon because people often don't know what claimant or defendant means. So we try not to use those terms. And we've done lots and lots, thousands of hours of testing of the service each time we release a new feature. We do have in HMCTS what we would call a heritage service, so an existing service called Money Claims Online.
Yes.
That is an online service, but it operates differently to the reform service. So one distinction, for example, is that if a claimant issues a claim to the person who is seeking to recover money, if they have the email address for the person they're trying to recover that money from, for the person or the business, they put that in. As soon as they put their details of the claim in and press submit, if the email address for the defendant is known, they will get an email straight away telling them that a claim has been issued. And people can go on and look at that claim and respond online. And in fact, we've seen cases being issued and settled within less than 2 hours because of the ability of having the email address in there.
I mean, technology has made life so much faster, hasn't it? It's just sped everything up. But this is really extraordinary because even though it's limited to up to £10,000, so your claim can only be for a maximum of £10,000, you're literally issuing a claim within minutes. It's been known to take about 10 minutes to issue a claim online. And now you're saying with the reformed process, just an email address, you know, because the next thing I was going to say is, you know, what steps does someone need to have gone through to prepare before they get started? But, you know, just those few points alone seem extraordinary to the process of having to issue a claim by going to make an appointment to see a solicitor, then explaining what's going on with the solicitor, then the solicitor has to do all the paperwork for you, and then they have to lodge it in the court. I mean, you're talking weeks and weeks condensed into minutes, really. Yep. You know, that's the reality of it. So let's talk about, Kerry, what steps should someone do and go through before they get started to issue a claim? So let's give them some key points here that they need to think about.
Okay, so before somebody issues a claim, they should always try to resolve the claim that claim themselves by engaging with the person that they say that they have the dispute with. So that's the first thing, that people are always encouraged to do that. And actually there is there's sort of guidance around that, and actually that's on the service. We talk about that, so a protocol that should be really followed before somebody does that. So it's always best to try and do that. And then when somebody comes onto the service, we again talk about whether or not, you know, you can try and settle it. You can do that yourself. You could try and do some form of mediation. If you've tried everything and then you do still need to issue a money claim, it's about making sure you've got the correct information for the defendant and the detail. So we ask information around the background to the claim, a timeline to what happened to the claim. Interestingly, we talk about what evidence somebody might rely on, but we ask them not to provide it at that stage because the claim may not go to a hearing. And people may also want the opportunity to think about the evidence. So we ask you to list it. It can be obviously updated, but not to actually upload the evidence at that stage. So I think it's, as I said, if somebody has an email address for a defendant, interestingly, people are more likely to keep their email address even if they move properties. So if you've got that, if you don't have an email address, that doesn't preclude you from issuing a claim. You can just provide the last known address for that individual. But as I've said, having an email address does show we have what we would call a higher engagement rate. So more people responding to claims within the service we know because of that email address. So I think having all the information in front of you before you set out to then sort of complete the information online.
And I think it's probably fair to say that if you don't have all the information, you know, you don't know their full address. I mean, sometimes if you know the postcode but not the full address entirely, or you know the full address but not the postcode, you can go on sort of postoffice.com and try and find full addresses. But if you've got sort of, say if you've got just a telephone number, a mobile number that's working, that's functional, and a name, I mean, is that sufficient, Kerry, or do you need to give more than that?
You do need to give more than that, because I think what's important to note for now, in any case, is that service is still deemed by post. So the claim form, even if you get an email and you see the claim straight away, the service will still be by post for now. So you do need that postal address for somebody. Interestingly, we've seen, as I said, claims settled or people responded to a case. So the service at the moment is all the way up to a judge or a legal advisor giving case management directions in a case, and then it would be listed for a hearing if it's a defended action, a defended case. And all of that can be done in the digital platform. And in fact, we've seen that happen in less than a day as well, which on average, it takes about 46 days. In normal business process, it takes about 100. So it's still substantially quicker. But for now, you do need an address, even though you can go on and reply to a claim even before it's been officially deemed to serve on the respondent, the defendant. But if you just had a telephone number, you wouldn't be able to use that.
So do try to get as much information, and an address of some form is required. Okay, I mean, let's talk about how much it costs to issue a claim. Let's try and give our listeners an idea of the fees that are involved. And I think it's important for our listeners to also know that you cannot claim your legal fees back as part of these claims, because if your claim is up to the value of $10,000, whether you issue it online through the online civil money claim service, or whether you turn up into a court and you do it through the court system or through a solicitor, through anything, you cannot try to claim your legal fees and costs back from the other side in the event that you win your claim. So let's talk about issue fees. What do they look like to issue a claim using the online civil money claim service?
So they start at £25, and then they go up incrementally. So it is based on the value of your claim. And then it goes up when you start to get into slightly higher levels of claim. I think it's 5% of the overall claim amount. But they do start off fairly low. And I think the lowest claim bracket is between £0 and £300, which actually, believe it or not, is about 20% of the claims issued are at that monetary amount.
I know. I remember you mentioning that in our first podcast. And I was really shocked, because people, I don't think, naturally would think, oh, it's a claim up to £300. Should I bother with that? Should I try and get that money back that, you know, shouldn't have been kept by the other side or needs to be refunded or whatever it is? And you're saying majority of the claims are up to the value of £300, even though, you know, they can go up to a value of £10,000.
Well, about 20% are, and then about 50% are up to £1,000. So it gives you an idea, probably, you know, at least half are £1,000 or less. And of course, £300 or less than £300 is a lot of money can be a lot of money to somebody.
Absolutely.
The court fee, the lowest court fee is about £25, and then it goes up. But again, lots of information on that on .gov.uk as well, that sets out all the fees. What's important for people to know is that if a claim is defended, so if the person that you're saying owes you the money says, actually, I don't, or I only owe you some of it, and the case goes to a hearing, the claimant, the person issuing the claim, does need to pay that hearing fee. But again, we tell people that in the service. And I know that when we talked before, we talked about mediation. So what we've got at the moment in the service, and I know there has been a podcast about mediation as well,
yes,
with one of my colleagues.
Jason Haynes.
So there's two ways for mediation. So for claims up to £500 that are defended claims, we have something called opt-out mediation. So parties are auto opted into mediation and are required to opt out if they don't want to pursue mediation. Claims above £500 are asked if they'd like to opt into mediation. But again, it's something that is encouraged in HMCTS because of the benefits of mediation. It's quicker, it's simpler, and it's done, I don't want to repeat what Jason said, but, you know, it's a telephone call. It's you know, the parties are not all on the court at the same time. It's for about an hour. And cases that do get before a mediator, sort of between 60 and 65% of those cases do settle.
That's what I was going to say. There is a very high rate of settling in mediation. And what I was saying to Jason as well is that it's extraordinary that this is offered as part of your, as a service, as part of your issue fee. I think the issue fees, it's fair to say, they are relative to what the amount that you're claiming. And I think they're very fair. You know, if you go, if you look at what court issue fees are in actual courts, you will see that they can be much higher. So I do think the fees are very, very fair. And I do think that the fact that you get a mediation chucked in there as well, if both parties agree to have it, obviously if the claim is above 500 where they have to opt in, it's amazing. And you know, as you said, Kerry, it's on the phone. So you're not having to be right in front of the person that you're trying to claim the money from. It's always been done on the phone where a HMCTS trained mediator will call you both individually and try to get you to meet somewhere to settle if you're still in disagreement and not heading all the way into a courtroom.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, although there's two different ways within this service to try mediation if you want to, the Small Claims Mediation Service is a free service. It's free to the parties, provided by HMCTS trained mediators, as you said, for all claims up to £10,000.
I have to say, you know, it is giving people access to justice while they're sitting at home, because you can make the application using your home computer, your tablet, your phone. I mean, it's very, very user friendly as a service and as a platform. I have used it myself personally on more than one occasion, and it's always been successful, and I've been incredibly happy with it. And I just want to say that in one case that I personally used it on that did go into court, the judge did award our court fee back, even though you can't claim the legal fees.
You would always, well, if a case goes to what we call default judgment, so that's where the person that, you know, or small company that you say owe you the money, where they don't respond within a deadline and you get something what we would call judgment in default, that will include the cost of your claim plus your court fee. So the court fee is added on top of that. So you do get that. But as you're saying, well, the legal cost. So if you went to see a solicitor, or if a solicitor's doing something for you, you can't claim your legal costs back using this service at the moment.
Yeah.
And I said it's up to £10,000, and the service currently is for, as I said, unrepresented individuals. What we are working on at the moment is that the service in the future will be above £10,000. We call for specified money claims, we call it. It means for a set amount of money. So it will go above £10,000, and it will... What we're looking at currently is designs for how we make the service available for legal representatives as well. So where somebody has a solicitor representing them, how they will also be able to use the online service. So it will become much more widely available in the future.
I think that would just be brilliant. And I think it would really, in some way, ease the pressure off of the courts for having to deal with the amount of paperwork and documentation that has to shuffle through so many different departments. And also it will probably make it a little bit more user friendly to people who do want to make a claim. And online, I mean, let's face it, we do everything online these days. I mean, we have done for a long time. I do sound like an ancient old person saying that, but you do. Online is very accessible. It's becoming more and more user friendly. So for the court system to be user friendly in that way, for people to get, you know, access to justice, as they say, has to just be a good thing. Can only be a good thing. Okay, so let's talk about issuing your claim. So you're going to issue a claim online. How much evidence do you need? What kind of evidence do you need there and then when you're issuing? Because obviously if you're issuing online, you know, people might think, well, how do I explain that there was no written contract, or if there is a written contract and I've got it, or here's the circumstances. Tell us a bit about that, please, Kerry.
Yeah, so when somebody comes on to issue a claim on the service, it will... I mean, you can provide as much or as little evidence as you want, but I think what somebody issuing a claim would need to remember is that's going to be served on, or that information becomes available to the other party, and they would need, in order for them to respond, they would need as much information as you've got. So what I would say is, whilst you don't want people to be putting reams and reams of information in, it's good to detail, as you said, if you've got a contract, if it was written, or if it was an oral or spoken contract. And as I said, the service asked you to set out a sort of a background of your claim, and then on our next sort of next page in the service, it talks about a timeline, setting out a chronology almost of what's happened in the case. And actually, for the person that's responding, the defendant, we also ask for that information so that when the claimant reviews what the defendant has said, they've also got full information. So it's up to the individual what they put, but of course, you know, they need sufficient information for somebody to be able to understand what the claim is about. And ultimately, if a case does get to a hearing before a judge will be considering based on the information that both the parties have provided. Yeah.
No, exactly. The more evidence you can put together, the more information you can put together if it proceeds beyond you having issued. And also, even at the stage of issue, I think it's fair to say, if the person on the receiving end, the defendant, respondent, can see that, God, you know, here's the evidence that's going to be stacked up against me, they're more likely, hopefully, to try and settle with you. Mm. And that's what I was going to mention.
We don't ask people to upload evidence at the issue stage, but they certainly set out and
what information. They have.
Exactly. And also the person the claims against in response also. And people, again, because the service is digital the way it is, as soon as if somebody comes on and responds, a defendant, as soon as they press submit on that, again, the claimant will get an alert. They will be out a notification. They can go on to what we call their dashboard, but effectively they can go in and they can have more. They might have more than one claim, and they can go in and see what's happening on their case. Download if they want to do that and print that response. They can review it online. And just going back to the point that you made about the civil courts. Civil courts are very paper dominated. It is all about paper. We don't have much of a digital file, and this is the beginnings of a digital file. So a judge can go in to online civil money claims. We have something called core case data, which is underpins what we're doing in reform in civil family and tribunals. They can go on, they can see the claim, they can see the response, they can see that actually where the claimant has reviewed the defendant's response and says, yes, I want to proceed with the case. They can do all of that. They can also go in and create an order and generate that, all without touching any paper at all. That's the stage that we're at the moment. But, you know, what that does start to do is where you start to see paper, you know, eliminated from the civil court, from the county court. And interestingly, during these very strange times that we're in COVID, the benefit of that is that judges have been able to access from anywhere that digital file.
And the speed of being able to get. I mean, I have been, you know, in situations where I've had to go to the court to get copies of a file from the court, and it takes weeks and weeks and sometimes months, because understandably there's such a volume of paper as well. It all has to be stored somewhere, kept somewhere. There has to be somebody responsible for that, you know. And the paper levels of paper, I just can't even imagine it. It must be football pitches sizes of documents and papers that come in and out. But we've got time to discuss one more area, Kerry, that I would love to give some insight to our listeners on. And that's about if you are the person defending a claim or having had a claim made against you. What advice can we give them? You know, what can we say in terms of the process itself? You know, what can we say to them? What would you say to them to help them in this process?
Yes, so I would say if somebody is on the receiving end of a claim, the defendant as we call them, they certainly should go on and look at the notification if they get it, if there was an email address, or if they get on something served to them on paper and they want to respond. I would encourage people to engage digitally as much as possible. And if they need support with that, then we have the services is supported in what we call a Courts and Tribunal Service Centre, which is a new, again, a part of a new
offer. When did that come up?
So we moved the service, it was supported in the National Business Centre in Northampton. In July, we moved the service to the Courts and Tribunal Service Centre in Stoke. Hopefully users of the service don't see any difference. It moved, but actually, again, it's incredible that we managed to do that and train the staff.
During COVID.
So the service has moved there and is supported by the Courts and Tribunal Service Centre. So if somebody's not sure, they need support, they can ring up and say, how do I access my account? What do I do? So I think the big thing would be where people can There are lots of benefits of using the service as a digital service. However, if somebody wants to respond on paper, they can do that if they're defending it, if they're defending the claim. And then they send that to an address. And actually, we are now currently working through how we upload that into our digital service so that the claim can still continue in a digital way to the stage we're at, and judges can view documents, etc. If somebody's not sure, then I would suggest that they speak to somebody, you know, CAB or other organisations that exist if they're not sure about the claim. But I think it's, you know, people need to think about the options. Again, I've talked about mediation. If it's something that they think...
I think the thing about mediation we need to say is it does absolutely no harm to try it. It's part of the service. Neither party pays more, so the claimant doesn't pay anything more and the defendant doesn't pay anything to engage in the mediation service. We've already said it's free. And I think if you are disputing a claim completely, it really, you will lose nothing by engaging in mediation to try and come to a solution. And as you said, I mean, obviously, try to engage with the person that's, you know, made the claim against you to try and settle it without taking it further. If you're absolutely disputing it, get your evidence together. The system is there to help you. Certainly the service centre is there to help you understand the process of being a defendant in a claim. Because, you know, they want to get you out of the other side of it, whether that's hopefully settling it yourselves and without the need to go into a courtroom, or whether it's because you have to go all the way and defend it, and some defendants come through and defend successfully.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the important thing is about engaging with the process and looking. As I said, if you get a notification, having a look, or if you get you will still get a copy in the post, having a look at that claim form and deciding what is best for you and seeking advice if you need to do that.
No, absolutely. Kerry, it's been another fantastic podcast. Thank you ever so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
And it's been great having you. And I look forward to talking about more advances and reforms with the online civil money claims programme, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to come. And I'm really excited about them increasing the value, actually, and then offering it to law firms to be able to use for their clients. What a great way to save at least a few forests, I have to say.
Yeah.
And what I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcast. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Our episodes are free to access. However, if you feel that you would like to support the children's charity that we are raising money for, then head over to our Just Giving page at justgiving.com and search for Hattie Savari, where we are raising money for orphaned children at SOS Children's Villages, one of the worthiest children's charities. Donate as little as £1 for a great cause. Thank you. Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com.